All right, we're in Revelation 6. We're going to look at verses 12 through 17 tonight, if you open your Bibles there. Movie trailers heighten your interest in seeing the film before it's released. A good movie trailer gives you just enough of a preview of what you can expect. Jesus has been opening the seals of the seven-sealed scroll, and now he's come to the sixth seal. It unleashes a grouping of events on and around the earth. They serve as a trailer to announce to the human race things that are coming over the next 3.5 years. They're a sneak preview of things to come. And so in verse 12, I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Are earthquakes increasing in frequency? Well, many followers of Bible prophecy say yes, because Jesus mentioned earthquakes when talking to his disciples about the end times on the Mount of Olives. Now, I'm not saying they're not, but here's what the U.S. Geological Survey says on their website. It's a kind of an extended quote, but it's interesting. We continue to be asked by many people throughout the world if earthquakes are on the increase. Although it may seem that we're having more earthquakes, earthquakes of magnitude 7.0 or greater have remained fairly constant. Partial explanation may lie in the fact that in the last 20 years, we have definitely had an increase in the number of earthquakes we have been able to locate each year. This is because of tremendous increase in the number of seismograph stations in the world and the many improvements in global communications. In 1931, there were about 350 stations operating in the world. Today, there are more than 8,000 stations, and the data now comes in rapidly from these stations by electronic mail, internet, and satellite. This increase in the number of stations and the more timely receipt of data has allowed us and other seismological centers to locate earthquakes more rapidly and to locate many small earthquakes which were undetected in earlier years. We now locate about 20,000 earthquakes each year, 50 per day. Also, because of the improvements in communications and increased interest in the environment and natural disasters, the public now learns more about earthquakes. According to long-term records since about 1900, we expect about 17 major earthquakes, 7.0 to 7.9, and one great earthquake of 8.0 or above in any given year. If earthquakes are not increasing, are we wrong about prophecy? No. We just need to be more careful to stay in context. When Jesus mentioned earthquakes in various places in Matthew 24:7, he was describing events in the first half of the tribulation. And thus, I don't really see earthquake frequency and intensity as a major sign to watch for that prove that we are living in the end times. And it's also, we've all made mistakes in this area repeating what somebody else has said. It's not hard anymore. We just need to research these things. I think generally Christians believe earthquakes are increasing and natural disasters are increasing. And maybe they are, maybe they're not. The U.S. Geological Survey says they're really not. And we want to be accurate if we're going to tell people about the Lord's coming. Because if we're not accurate about things that anybody can look up on the internet, then why would people believe us about Jesus? So we want to be careful about that. And so I don't really, you know, when we do our prophecy updates, I don't talk much about earthquakes because they're really not increasing in frequency. And even if they were, Jesus says, he's talking about the tribulation and the earthquakes of the tribulation, not earthquakes as a sign that we're getting close to it. There will be a major earthquake just before the middle of the tribulation, and it will preview massive upheavals yet to come on the earth. Then in verse 12, it says, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. The prophet Joel predicted the sun would be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he said, the sun and the moon shall be darkened and the stars shall withdraw their shining. That's from Joel 2 and from Joel 3. We're told in Genesis that God placed in the heavens for signs and seasons, for days and years, the sun and the moon. We appreciate the seasons, days, and years, but overlook the sign aspect of them. Creation declares the glory of God. Everywhere you look, there are signs of an intelligent creator. But because men do not wish to retain God in their knowledge, they come up with alternatives to creation. The current one, and this is very, very real and true among scientists, is that aliens brought life to our planet and we then evolved from there. Is that really more scientific than biblical creationism? I mean, seriously. No, it's just not biblical creationism. And anything that's not biblical creationism is better as far as a secular scientist is concerned. And so this is a real theory that scientists believe right now. Now, just towards the middle of the tribulation, God will use the sun and the moon as signs of his great power. And he'll be trying to get mankind to pay attention to the preaching of his witnesses on the earth. It's like when the lights are dimmed at the theater. It alerts you that the movie is about to start. And you cheer and get excited until the projector breaks or something like that. But there's, lighting in a theater setting, whether it's a movie or a live performance, they sometimes flash the lights at a live theater performance that let people know that it's time to come in and sit down. And then when the lights go down, lighting is a way of getting people made aware of what's going on. And God, through all these long ages, the sun and the moon and their cycles, which are there as signs of his great glory and love, in the tribulation, he's going to do some things to darken those signs. And then it's a preview and a prelude of things to come. But it's all to show his mercy. He'll be telling mankind what they can expect as they continue to refuse his offer of salvation. Then in verse 13, "And the stars of heaven fell to earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind." Shooting stars are the common name for the streak of light produced by a meteor as the small bits of it burn up when passing through the atmosphere. These are meteorites, therefore, striking the earth, probably, in verse 13. According to NASA, a meteor appears when a particle or chunk of metallic or stony matter called a meteoroid enters the earth's atmosphere from outer space. Air friction heats the meteoroid so that it glows and creates a shining trail of gases and melted meteoroid particles. The gases include vaporized meteoroid material and atmospheric gases that heat up when it passes through the atmosphere. They glow for about a second. Most meteoroids disintegrate before reaching the earth, but some leave a trail that lasts several minutes. These are called meteorites. Millions of meteors occur in the earth's atmosphere every day. You didn't know that, did you? Scary. Most meteoroids that cause meteors are about the size of a pebble. They become visible between about 40 and 75 miles above the earth and disintegrate about 30 to 60 miles above the earth. Now, meteors do hit the earth. You can visit the International Meteor Collectors Association website for some great true stories. Here's one, or not so much a story, but just a summary. They say, from time to time, meteorites have struck man-made objects such as houses, roads, cars, even a mailbox, human beings, and cows. And then they have the references for all that. Actually, meteorites are valuable, and there are people who go around looking for them. In a 2003 CNN report, it said two people have been injured and several homes badly damaged by a meteorite crashing into a village in eastern India. The fiery object crashed to earth shortly after sunset Saturday in the coastal state of Orissa. Witnesses reported a bright fireball briefly lighting up the night sky and causing panic among local residents. Reports from several districts described an ear-splitting noise that shattered several windows as the object sped overhead. At least one part of the fireball came down in a village in Mahabharjan district, setting several homes on fire and injuring two people. The report said other parts of the suspected meteorite may have crashed into another village, setting at least one thatched house ablaze. Imagine during the middle of the tribulation when there will be meteorites, multiple meteorites striking the earth, causing this kind of damage. Literally, it will seem as though the sky is falling on people. Then in verse 14, the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up and every mountain and island were moved out of its place. A scroll is generally pictured as a parchment with rolled ends. Isaiah 42:5 says that God stretched out the heavens, and Isaiah 34:4 says the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll. Skeptics laughed at this for years. We now know that the universe is indeed expanding, and quantum physics and the findings of the Hubble spacecraft verify that the universe is curved. And it is not at all out of whack to call it a scroll-like object. For the sky to recede as a scroll when it is rolled up would imply that the atmospheric heavens have suddenly and rapidly cleared themselves as if in preparation for something or someone to arrive. Keeping with our metaphor tonight, it's almost as if a curtain was opening in the heavens and things moving so that the presentation could come. And though this sixth seal does have an apocalyptic sense of the second coming of Jesus, it is really only the preview. We're still only at the middle of the tribulation. Why these amazing mid-tribulation signs? The first five seal judgments we've looked at could be interpreted by ungodly men as simply the acts of men. War, famine, disease, death, even the killing of the martyrs. Men on earth won't see them as martyrs of Jesus Christ. They'll see them as people that need to be eliminated. And so up until this point, you could probably explain everything in a natural way. This sixth seal will leave nothing to that. This will definitely be the act of God. And men will definitely know it. As you read in verses 15 through 17, the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" No other explanation will do. These things are the work of God and are being administered by Jesus as he prepares the earth for his return. Everyone on earth will know God is calling to them and that Jesus is coming. Mankind will choose to take shelter in those days. The real shelter, though, is spiritual. It is to be found safe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's become far too common to blame natural disasters on God as judgments for sin. I don't want to name any in particular, but the fairly recent tsunami and different, things, even the, what was the name of the hurricane that hit New Orleans? Katrina. Even, some Christians couldn't wait to say that Katrina was God's judgment upon that wicked city. And it's just sad. Unless it's obvious, let's just call them disasters and rush to the aid of the victims. When God wants to bring a disaster, he can make it obvious that it's him. And when he does it, it's out of mercy to show people that his long suffering is coming to an end. And so let's just be careful. Let's take a more Franklin Graham approach to things. Disaster, people are hurting, they're open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it a judgment from God? Is that our call? Is it obvious? The thing about New Orleans was funny. Finally, they pointed out that some of the most wicked parts of that city, the Bourbon Street district, was untouched. I think maybe God missed, kind of a thing. It just bothers me. Doesn't it bother you when people say, "Oh, God is judging those wicked people"? No, there's hurricanes and there's natural disasters. We live in a fallen world. And so let's not blame God for things. And let's remember that when God allows things, it is for his mercy. When he wants credit for a natural disturbance, he'll make it obvious. And when he does, it is to offer the shelter of his Son, Jesus Christ. All right, let's worship the Lord.